John Aldrey from the Aldo Meats podcast. I'd just like to thank all of our sponsors, Budweiser, Buttermunder Union, Onyx Real Estate, RW Invest, Kingdom Plumbing, Taskers Northwest Fencing, Bell Lamb, Toynson Solicitors, Owen McVeigh Foundation, obviously, and Zoe's Place. Thanks very much, everyone. Hello, everyone. Episode 10, Aldo Meats already. It's flying. I've enjoyed every episode, and I'm sure I'm going to enjoy this one over the years to come and the months gone by. We've had some fantastic ex-Liverpool players and staff, and today I'm delighted to welcome Peter Kravitz, who's been here for, he's a scout now, like Peter, he's one of us. He's done brilliant for Jürgen over the last 8 or 9 years or so. Very integral to where we are. People don't realise sometimes it's not all about the manager. You've got to have your staff around you. I know that I've done it, lost a lot lower with Tramiros for 5 years. Your staff are so vital, so important. And one of the reasons we got where we are, you know, is Peter himself. So welcome, Pete. Yeah, welcome from myself. And obviously, Peter Schwartenhausen. Peter Shreves' man. You know,
yeah, right, yeah, solid 7 out of 10.
And obviously, James Pearce from The Athletic. You're all welcome. And let's start off with Peter. Welcome to the Hotel Anfield, pal.
Thank you very much.
What's the last few weeks been like? The last few weeks since the end of the season?
Since the end of the season? You go through a kind of development. So there's a last match, there's the party, There's a full house at home with family and friends. Yeah. So there's the next day where you just go on. Have some beer, and then you start realizing, it's calmer now. You think, what's next? You don't know exactly, which is strange, of course, but nice somehow as well. And then the point comes that you start making new plans. So, of course, we have to organize our private life as well. We will move from England first to Mainz.
We're from Liverpool, not England.
We're
not English. we're scouts. Sorry about that.
But this all has to be organized, of course, with the boys in school and stuff like that. So these are the projects
That'll keep me busy in itself. But it is strange, you know, because I remember, obviously, you know, when I walked out some football and management, when you wake up in the mornings and then all the years you're going to the banter, you're going to the lads. It's like a family. You're laughing and your day goes by and you're working. And all of a sudden you're going, what the fuck do we do? Where am I? It is. It's really strange. Probably not hit you just quite yet.
Not yet.
But it does.
Without that routine.
Yeah, just corrupt the routine and the dressing room and all that. It comes to a shock, you know. And after a few months, I thought something wrong with me, and I actually went to the doctors, and I don't know, and she diagnosed me with being depressed. I went, I can't be depressed. I've got my mortgage. We're all right. The kids are all right. No, and it must have been the effect of coming up the game, but, you know. But obviously you've got you're a lot younger than I was, and you've got a lot of work on your hands, thankfully, to get you through that.
Yeah. So, but of course, it's will be different. But our life was as intense over all the years. So, a football season is very, very long, very exhausting. And often enough, it was these 4 or 5 weeks you've got a summer holiday, not enough to recover completely.
This
is what we are going to do now.
Yeah, it does, it drains you.
And Liverpool has been the home for you and your family for obviously 9 years. I mean, your younger son isn't, I assume, and I mean, you go to Mainz a lot, but he doesn't actually, he's never really lived like consciously anywhere else but in Liverpool. So it's a big change. How does it feel to be leaving Liverpool as a city? Or Formby, more specifically.
Formby, Liverpool, so of course it's our football home, I'll call it. So yes, of course we try to keep, we tried to keep in contact with our family in Mainz and all that stuff. But of course our daily life was here, my working life, and of course all the other things around for the boys, going to school, yes, but going to play football with their teammates, and of course they made friends over the years, so and now everything comes to an end, and this is strange, of course. We have of course as well a little bit experience because we have been a long time in Dortmund, for example, as well. But yes, we try to manage this in a good way. So yes, we are leaving, but of course we have still some connections here. We don't want to cut this off, and yes, we are looking forward to the next step as well.
Yeah.
Of course, we have to. But talking about me, my task will be to pack all these things on the right spot, as well to open myself up for the next station. So identification is a very, very, very important thing for me, to work, to give all your best, to put all your energy in. I need the feeling to be at the right place. And I was happy with all our stations in football in Mainz, of course, our hometown in Dortmund. After couple of days you realize there, okay, that's cool, this is football pure, this club, the fans, the supporters, and lucky us, we come to Liverpool and it's the same again. So identification with the club, with the stadium, with the supporters, with the situation of course as well, and I need this to be completely in, and then I can give everything. That's why if something goes to the end like this, I need time as well to do all the stuff, put it in myself on the right place, sort myself if you want, and then be open for the next one.
That's spot on. I keep on going back a little bit to myself, but when I left Tranmere because I made myself ill because I've put too much into it, 24/7, neglect your family, your head up, because you've got to be, if you're not, You won't be right. And I like it to some of the things Jürgen said, and it's the staff as well. You don't stop, you go in and go, and you become knackered. You don't know, you can't put into words sometimes. So I get what Jürgen said. I get what the staff is, and you do need time out. But there'll come a time when you get up one morning, you'll go. Well, to me, I didn't really want to go back into management because it made me ill. But you need to do something. That's you're spot on, Deb. Soon you'll know when the time arises, won't you?
Yeah. I will feel it. So I know for sure it was the right timing for us to stop now.
Yeah.
So you said it plenty of times. Jürgen said it, and it is really like this. It was a good, or it is a good timing for the club. For ourselves as well, and then you have to get ready to open up again, like I said, so clear your mind, put some energy in, and the day you think, okay, I'm ready again, then I at least will be
absolutely
to think about the next one.
And we'll touch on that a little bit later in the podcast, but like we were wondering, like, what was that final week of the season, like leading up to that last weekend where you knew sort of this is going to be it. How did that make you feel? How was it? How did it go by for you?
Yeah, so it was special because normally we were used to all over the years that the last match of the season, the final or the last match day, we are fighting for everything we wanted. Yeah? So, and this time it was pretty clear, okay, we will finish third, either this way, either that way. Nothing can stop. It was just, yeah, come on, let it run, let the sport football part run. So
you were talking, Pete, about the emotion sort of having a bit more space because the game kind of meant a little bit less than the previous seasons where we were still in the running. So when you then after the game walked down that guard of honor onto the pitch and all the fans applauded you, like, how did that feel? Explain it, like, to us who wish we would be in that situation one day.
It's of course a special moment because, you know, okay, I felt grateful, of course, how can I say? It's special.
Emotional,
yes, but not in a sad way.
Good.
Only for me, it was, yes, cool. No, it is done, and it was a great time.
It's a celebration of what you've achieved, and the fans. Yeah. The fans are showing the gratitude for not just Jürgen but everyone, and I've seen that and I got that, and that was it was a special to know that you've put everything into it, and the fans actually love you for doing that. You know, it was a brilliant really moment for me.
Yeah.
Good that it was good for you. How was it for you?
yeah, no, but sometimes but people have forgotten. Like it was like the Jürgen show, you know, because hey, fantastic. But there is, I can't stress enough, but there's other people. Without them, Jürgen wouldn't be the figure. But the fans know that and they got that. And I think that came across on that day, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So we've always felt as a team. So in daily work, we know it is teamwork. But yes, because it's internal, that's clear. And for the outside world, of course, it's unbelievable, interesting how it works and stuff like that. But things have to stay internally as well. So, and there is, of course, each club needs a face, a manager. And this is, of course, what Jürgen is doing brilliantly. And he's representing the club to the outside world. Inside, it is really teamwork. Everybody knows or should know what to do, what he has to do. But everybody is working hard. But yes, most important, the players, of course, the manager and all the others are working for the success of the team. So this is my philosophy. This is, for me, the only way to be successful. So this is why I have not a second problem if to stand behind a little bit. So because my biggest interest always is, was and will be the game. I want to understand the game. I want to play or to work for the game successfully. So this is my part. I try to fulfill my part for the team to be successful. And this is my applause. If we win the game, I'm absolutely fine. 3 points, top. Don't need more.
Yeah, fantastic. And then obviously there was like a very special goodbye party at the Titanic where we saw John Barnes rapping with...
He raps anyway everywhere. he can't help himself. He loves it. He's a frustrated rapper.
Is he?
What's his name? Pete Daddy or whatever his name is. What's
Pete Diddy.
Yeah. That was close, wasn't it? It's like you get your name wrong.
It sounds like a cheap copy version of it. But
No, he's good. He's very entertaining, though. He's good.
Yeah.
No, that was a lovely way to top things off, wasn't it, basically?
Of course. It was nice and meet so many people, legends and everybody else. So it was just, the perfect way to say goodbye. Let's celebrate the time we had together. Everybody felt, a bit sad as well, but we had great times. This needed a proper party at the end.
Yeah,
it's got a proper party.
Love it.
And Jürgen, of course, has said he's going to have a year off at least. What's your plan?
Taking time off as well. Minimum half a year, and then let's see. When energy is back, when I settled in my new life, and I don't have a proper idea yet what to do, what it will be. Is it managing? Is it something else? I will take my time as well to think about this one and what will come next. I don't know yet.
That's interesting you said about, so becoming a manager, is that possible? You're still thinking that might be a one route to go down?
Not my first target, to be honest, at the moment. But of course, it's something I could think about. Yes. Let's see. So let's see how Jürgen feels and what his plans are. Then, if he has an idea, if it fits to me or not, if he wants me in or not, we will see this. And but so far I'm open, and not decided yet. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to make a decision as well now already, because it's really clear for me. I need to step back a little bit. I want to find my energy again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Full motivation, right. And then find out what's best for me next.
Yes,
you remember Shankly, because Jürgen gets likened to Shankly quite rightly. So I adored Shankly when I was young. When he left, like, what page? Who's in your position more or less now? Took over, And it was unbelievable what he did in the short period. People don't even realise the amount of trophies that he won. But it was just mind-blowing, you know. So what you've learned off Jürgen and all that, you know, when the time's right, you know, sometimes you think, well, do you know what? I'm going to give this a go, you know, because it's ridiculous the set of books you've learned over like the 9, 10, 12 years, whatever, with Jürgen, and you've looked at his principles, moral standards, and how he does the game. You know, what if Jürgen says, I'm not going back, then that opens it up to a different level for Peter. Then you say, well, do you know what? I'm going to give it a bash here. Mm. And the CV will always give him an option of getting a really good club. So you just don't know what's going on. So you got to leave the book open and see what happens. Yeah.
I mean, as many people know who know me, I'm a Borussia Dortmund supporter when I grew up. So
I never knew that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He talks about it every bleeding day.
It is. I'm passionate.
I was good from the weekend. I didn't take
that very well. But my point is, when you followed the Bundesliga and you saw Jürgen and Peter doing it at Mainz, and then at Dortmund, yeah, and then at Liverpool, it's very hard for me to imagine a scenario where you don't come as a pair, because you two have been a pair for so long, you know. But that's, I think, really intriguing to people, isn't it? To see that there might be a future where something else is in store. So let's see what happens.
You could see a situation where you work for someone else as well, as part of a team with another manager. It's not just a case of waiting for Jürgen?
No, if Jürgen says, I'm retired now, I'm not a manager anymore, or I do something completely different, then I have to think about, find out what's best then. And if there's a constellation which makes sense for me, yes or no. This is, yes, of course. Like I said, I want to be open. So that means, yes, possible here, possible there, possible this, possible something completely different from football. Yes, I have a lot of interest. So let's see.
Yeah, 23 years you two have worked together for Mainz and Dortmund and Liverpool. Yeah. That's a long, long chunk of life, isn't it? What is it about the dynamic between the two of you that works?
There's the basics. There are the basics. Character-wise, so we have similar values, right, like this. What is important, if you look at a team, if you look at a certain person, often enough it's a similar thinking about, oh, he's okay, or maybe not, or this I liked, he says, oh, I like the way they are playing, the energy, or whatever it is, then it's very similar to me. So, and of course, we had, I have to go back to answer this question completely. So we had a same experience, if you want, Jürgen as a player, me as a young guy. Today you would say an analyst. So, and there was one important manager for Mainz 05. That was Wolfgang Frank. So imagine Mainz 05 always was a team, second league relegation battle over all the years. And out of the sudden, after they changed the manager every 12 months, Wolfgang Frank came around. So, and he was the first one to ask this club, do you have visions? Did you ever think about playing in the first Bundesliga? Do you like your stadium, or do you think to build a new one? So he brought vision to this club, Mainz 05. And on top of that, a certain way of playing football. So he was orientated to Arrigo Sacchi and his philosophy, especially in talking about defending. Ball-orientated space defending. Mm. This is what he brought in. So we in Germany, over the years, always played one libero.
Yeah.
Role model Franz Beckenbauer, two man markers, whoop killers. And everybody followed the man. So, and he said, okay, we do it different. We are a team as individual players. We are not as strong as the others, but if we put our quality together as a team, then we can beat the better ones. And the way to do it is not playing man be man. No, we play, we defend direction the ball. Wherever the ball is, we try to bring there one player, the second player, the third player. So, and he was very, very passionate about this idea. And it was more or less the only way Mainz 05 could improve and got better. And Jürgen as a player and I, me as a young analyst, just coming from the sports university, allowed to be in there, we understood, okay, this is a special way of playing football. This makes us better. This there are no limits anymore, or lesser limits, say it like this. And this football idea was in us as well. So Jürgen understood it completely. He was a center forward, now played the right fullback. So completely change of role, but he liked it because out of the sudden this team was able to play for the going up to the first Bundesliga. So first time in the club history. Yeah. And this is what he took over then as well in his career. So this idea, of course, and this is important as well, it was not only about that. It needed development. It needed improvement. So there's one way of defending, clear. But next question, okay, cool. We won the ball. What are we doing? It cannot be everything about counterattacks. And this is the development our football needed. And this is what we were working on the last 23 years. Yeah. Step by step by step by step. Higher, improving. Your opponents are learning what you are doing. So
yeah.
The moment you think, oh, we are really good, you must know that in 4 weeks you are not good enough anymore. This is why you always need to think further ahead.
Yeah.
And this is what we did over the last 23 years. And this is kind of our story, why it was never boring for us. Even mm-hmm. it was intense, yes, and we had similar principles and we didn't change them too much, but it was never boring because our football needed to get better and better and better. So we needed to find better players, and you needed to find the right setup for your new players. You have to convince them more or less every day. So bring Mo Salah in and tell him, listen, our first idea is to defend because we want to score goals because we need the ball. And Mo Salah maybe thought, interesting. Tell me if you want the ball and give it to me. I'll be ready. And this kind of teamwork, working together and conviction everybody needs. So this is what we did.
So where did it come from? I didn't know this till today. Your nickname, The Eye.
The Eye, yeah.
Yeah, where did that come about?
It was a journalist who tried to describe the management team or the stuff around. So and I was the eye, yes, because I was watching a lot of football, doing the analyze, and he thought it's a good idea.
Did you not want to be a footballer? Did you when you were young, or what did you?
I tried to be a footballer. And I played football, but it was far. I wasn't good enough to play professional football. So it was, let me count, it was the fifth or the sixth league, so very passionate.
What position?
I played either in the last line, centre half, or in the midfield role.
Hold the midfield player? Nice.
Yes, very passionate, like I said, but by far not quick enough to play professional
football. So you realised then, I think, I'm not going to make it, but I'm going to use the eye to make sure that I'm going to become a really good coach, really good trainer, you know, analyst or whatever. So you went that route. Is that what happened? Yeah,
that was what happened exactly. But pretty early. Yeah? So with 16, 17, I realized,
that's very young, isn't it?
I'm not going to make the last step to play for the best team in town. They were thinking about maybe, but then said, stay in your club. We don't want you. And this was my moment to say, hey, won't be a professional football player.
Yeah.
And this was exactly the same time when I started to support a coach of the youth team under 6, 7, 8. I don't know anymore. And I liked it immediately to organize a team and to play with the boys. And there I realized then, in combination with my studies at the university, in combination with then, after a few years, the job or the starting job at Mainz 05, that I said to myself, okay, as a player, I have my limits, but as a coach, I don't see them. Yeah. So I can use my brain, and this is a proper way to be successful as well. So this was my...
That's what you're doing at a young age, to go down that route, isn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I stopped my playing career with 25, because I said to the president of the club, listen, I know I'm a pretty good player for your club, but I believe if I am the manager, we will be more successful. You don't need me on the pitch, but maybe off the pitch. And yeah, this is what I...
Rest is history.
Yeah. Brilliant.
In terms of like all of your analysis, Pete, like how satisfying is it when you analyze the opponent and make a game plan and it comes off? Because, you know, I mean, obviously on the tally, the LFC supporters see like the front row of guys. And then when a substitute comes on, it's very often you just quickly showing them something on the tablet or the piece of paper. And how satisfying is it when one of the things that you spotted that you think can be exploited actually comes off?
Of course, it's my job, and this is why I do all the work, of course, as well, in preparation. So yes, we have ideas, and we think, and we tell the players pretty exactly, listen, this will be the way, this will be the most important way to be successful. And then you expect, of course, somehow a good performance in terms of, yes, we are following our plan. If it then comes to the top, means we score a goal, maybe in a way we said before, this is could go, it could work like this. So go to the byline, cut back. This is what this team's, what this special opponent now, they are really, this is their problem. So the boys are then doing exactly that. Maybe with something you worked on the pitch the day before. Of course, there's this no better moment. And it's like for everybody. Yeah? So if you have an idea, you create something and it works out at the moment. And this is what professional football means as well. It has to work. And it has to happen now. Mm. And this is a kind of thrill, which is in our profession as well. So you need these moments, but still... A really good feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
And in the scheme of things, obviously, you got more things right as a team, including you, than wrong. I mean, Mainz went to the Bundesliga, became really a solid team in the Bundesliga for many, many years. I know last season was tough, but they survived. Dortmund, the double, Champions League final. And then obviously in Liverpool, we all know what has happened. But which of these is like... You know, are there one or two personal highlights for you which sort of meant the most, or was there like a in every phase a particular one that sticks out for you?
Yeah, oh, that's a difficult one, because the definition of success is your definition. So you have to look at what is possible. So if we would have said with Mainz 05, we want to play Champions League, not possible. Yeah. So, but. It was a very, very emotional moment. The promotion, the first promotion of Mainz 05 to the first Bundesliga, because the story, probably you know it, first season it didn't work out because of 1 point, second season it didn't work out because of one goal, and then to go again. And then it works. Last match day, we were not in the best position. We needed to win and needed other results. And then over the radio, yes, you did it. And this was just an explosion. Yeah? So for this Mainz 05 situation, it was great because it was so close. So there was a little town, a small club. Everybody working there had two or three jobs. So I was the head of the scouting apartment and the assistant manager of the second team. Everybody was working just every day the whole year. Yeah? So and. But it was proper fun, and we wanted it so much. So this was as well then one moment where we realized, okay, our way is working. So we are not too stupid to do it, which feeling you could have if you don't make it 2 years in a row. And so this was, of course, important. And winning the first time the Bundesliga with Borussia Dortmund is, this was overwhelming because they are the country you're growing up. You watch the Bundesliga for 30, 40 years. You dream as a little boy exactly of this moment, and then it happens in an emotional atmosphere like it is in Dortmund. There is no better town in Germany to win the Bundesliga than that. It was unbelievable. Yes, and then of course we came to Liverpool to go for the biggest targets. Not winning the Premier League for 30 years was a big one. I realized that. So winning the Champions League, of course, as well. Winning all the trophies we played for. And then maybe the Champions League was
special.
It was very special because it is the Champions League, and every footballer wants to win this. We tried it a few times, and finally we made it then in Madrid.
It's funny with Shankly, you always said the bread and butter was the league, quite rightly so, but there's something special about the European Cup, and perhaps because we've won it six times, so many times, more than anyone else by far. And I was lucky to see the first one in 77. It's obviously the bread and butter, the Premiership, yeah, of course you want to win that. But I just got this thing about the Champions League, to win it now, and it's in your face, it's got bigger and grander, and obviously nowadays you don't have to win the league. In the old days you had to win the league to get there, to be in the top four, but it's still so special. And then going from that, obviously, you go and win for the first time the world championship, what's it called, the
Club World Cup,
Club World Cup, which when we had the great Liverpool sides, and we used to travel to Tokyo and Japan to play. Most of the time, it was a Brazilian team. They were brilliant. We never ever got back to the line. But to actually bring that home, that was special as well. It really was Super Cup. That season was so special. But I think for me, watching Liverpool all the years, to see us lift that one, words fail you a little bit because we didn't make it with so many fantastic teams, and yet we got across the line and we won it. That's a really special one for me, but maybe not so because people might see it that way. But it is because it's one that's eluded us for all our history, really.
Yeah,
and it's so difficult to qualify for that. So you have to win the Champions League.
Absolutely, people forget about that.
And this reminds you more or less the whole next season, because you're playing the Super Cup, you're playing the FIFA Club World Cup, stuff like that. You're only allowed if you won the Champions League before. Yeah. And winning the Champions League, of course, is for you as a player or manager or whatever, special enough. But to do this with Liverpool, and I remember when we got the videos from Madrid city center before the game. I thought, okay, they are in a good shape. It would be better if we win it. But then we made it happen, and then the parade next day. So this was absolutely outstanding. Crazy, so this is, it is crazy. It is. So not to realize and not to forget, of course.
Absolutely. And when we think about plans coming off, we always think back to that iconic night against Barcelona. With obviously Trent's corner for Origi. How much of that was down to Trent's instinct in that moment, and how much of it was something you talked about and analysed in terms of Barcelona being slow?
He told me before that. He told Trent to do it. He's seen it. It was Peter's idea.
That is right. You noticed that whether it was an in-swing or an out-swinger, they reset. Is that right?
So what is right about that? So to us, to answer your question first, was 100% the instinct of Divock Origi first, because he was in the center waving and free. And then Trent decided not to follow our plan. I didn't see it because I was, I think we prepared a change, and everybody's celebrating, what goal? What 4-0? What happened? Okay, cool. But yes, of course.
And the ball boy. Let's not forget the ball boy.
The ball boy as well. They were trained as well, and they had their instructions. So as long as we are in a rush, do it quick. And if we don't, then you have time. It's maybe a nice story as well to talk about plans in football. So yes, of course, we We had our special preparation for the Barcelona stuff, the in-swinger, out-swinger story. We saw they have a different setup. So our idea was, come on, let them change a little bit around. So every corner we take, one out-swinger, one in-swinger. So the takers, Alexander Arnold and Shaqiri, left foot, right foot. We change for every corner. That was the idea, and we did it. Second thing, what we were speaking about over all the years, if there's a possibility to do something quick, like a free kick in midfield, you get, we want to play a counter-attack, they put you down, bang, put the ball on the floor and play. If you see, well, a free kick, ref is fine with a whistle, goalkeeper not ready, put it around the corner and score. And with corners similar, if you see something, if you see a free space, use it. So this is so important that you give your players this feeling. A, we have an orientation, we have a plan, we know what to do. And B, the freedom, play the game, play football. You see the situation, use it. Bang, don't wait. Or coach, are we allowed? One player asked, are we allowed to do this or that? Yeah, do it. Just make sure it works somehow out and make sure everybody is more or less in his defensive. So we don't want to play out of sudden with 10 players in the box and nobody is protecting anymore. This can't happen. Apart from that, keep going. Play football. Enjoy.
Well, that's part one. That went so quick of the Aldo podcast with me, John Aldridge, Peter Shreversman.
Excellent.
James Pearce, and the one and only Mr. Kravitz. Right, Pete, can you remember the time when you got the call, October 2015, seems like yesterday, you know, when Jürgen called you, when he must have told you about Liverpool and he's deciding to go. What did you feel? Obviously, you didn't, everyone knows about Liverpool, obviously, and what did you think?
Are you crazy?
Good answer, mate.
Are you crazy? Why? Because we agreed, he said, I need 1 year off.
That's right.
No way to start anything before. And it was October. I thought he was ringing. Hey, how are you? Where are you? What are your plans? What are you doing? And now he booked skiing holidays. I made plans to celebrate my birthday, which is at the end of December. So, and I moved with the idea for 1 year back to my hometown from Dortmund. So we organized a house, and we organized school and kindergarten for the boys, so everything was settled. I said, I think it's a good idea. So he had to convince me a little bit. So it took
me, did you need convincing?
It took me 1 hour to think about that and to say, okay, cool, yes, I believe I'm ready. And that was my first.
And was Liverpool everything you're expecting it to be?
Yeah, Liverpool, yes, I knew it is. We loved the English football before, and of course, we knew about the history and Liverpool as well. Yeah. So, yes, I thought, okay, if England, then Liverpool. And yes, so pretty quick after the first shock, if you want, it was a good idea at the end. Brilliant. We all know he was completely right.
Yeah, well, it worked out that way. Yeah, absolutely.
It did. But the first impressions, Pete, I mean, 10th in the Premier League at that stage, won a League Cup in 9 years before. Like, Liverpool was on a bit of a downer. So it took, what was your first impressions when you came to Liverpool, like with the club where it currently sits? Performance-wise and so on?
Yeah, to come in as a new coach, of course, or manager or whatever, is, of course, not bad. If the club is not in the best situation, then it's clear. Otherwise, there would be no change during the season. So it's clear it was a similar situation like it was in Dortmund. So we know we knew it. We knew about the history and the potential of the club. Clear. And we knew as well there's something to do. So obviously, and the club wants a change, and this was the situation we found. And then we started our work with all our ideas. The idea was not only to come here and teach and listen. We are the smart Germans, and we know how football works. On top of that, we wanted to learn as well about the new league, about the English football, about this big tradition, and. So we saw the potential. We knew they are not in the best phase. So yeah, this is a good point to start from.
Yeah.
And the transfer window was shut. So you had to make the most of what you had, which, let's face it, you did. You made two cup finals that year.
Yeah.
Sadly didn't win. Mm-hmm. But so was it, how did it feel, the first steps then, like to assess the situation, in particular, without wanting to be harsh on the group back then, but like what you've left behind now, and we'll touch on it a little bit later, but it's obviously a phenomenal team with so much talent.
But we knew as well. So I knew first, I realized, or I remembered immediately, was, oh, cool, there's a guy playing named Roberto Firmino. We wanted him for Dortmund. We thought, oh, it would be a great player for us. But he decided to go to Liverpool. There was Emre Can. So the German players, you know, German players who played in the Bundesliga before. So we knew, yes, they are good players. So if they play there, already you have a few, and all the others you will learn as well. And of course, we knew a few other players. So we thought it cannot be as bad. So there must be potential, and this is enough. This is everything you need. And then it's about us to bring in the ideas and to give a vision, to give a target if you want, and start our work. And this is exactly what we did, completely open. Just start a project, working together, find a team, and then do the necessary stuff to improve.
Do you think, like, it was quite pivotal? Coutinho, we got a massive offer from Barcelona, and you can't turn down an offer like that. It's crazy money. That was probably pivotal to give yourselves the opportunity to go out and reinstall that into the squad. You know, the amount of money which
paid for Van Dijk and Alisson.
Van Dijk and Alisson, yeah. Which obviously the rest is history. That was, we did, I'm not being funny, I'm looking at it now, you'd say, as good as Coutinho was, yeah, I'd do that. But it's easy to say now, but at the time, what was your thoughts?
Of course, we thought, okay, we just brought in Mohamed Salah.
Yeah.
And we had one game in, where was it? Somewhere in Asia, where we played the preseason cup, and we saw it for one game, what is possible if you continue on the ball, dribbling in the center from the left side, and Mo Salah running from the right side behind the last line of the opponent, and play the ball, and we score, and we thought, would be fine. So we didn't like it, but on the other hand side, yes, if there's a player who wants this desperately to follow his dream, then at one point you have to say, on top of that, Barcelona was playing, paying well money.
Oh, yeah.
So then on top of that, we wanted to work always in a situation like this, means having money or being a rich club. So money doesn't matter if you want, it's there. Just find a way to spend it legally. Or develop a team, develop a club which can still grow. So it was always important for us that the club is developing as well. Yeah. So like I said in former times, the development of the club of Mainz 05, building a new stadium, stuff like that, improving the facilities around. It was similar in Dortmund, came there, fantastic stadium, but just had a new training center. And of course, around here in Liverpool as well, Melwood, a fantastic place, full of history, great, but the vision of the club was build a new training center, extend the stadium. So this feeling, it's getting step by step better and better, but step by step, not like this, so going from here to the top. So no, it has to grow step by step, and this is what you do. We love the situation to do this with the club and, of course, with the team as well. Because, yeah, they're aware.
Do you know what's just dawned on me there? And it's just dawned on me the fact that Jürgen and the lads haven't just left, leaving the legacy. Without them, the stadium wouldn't be built because the owners wouldn't have had the input to inject into the stadium if we didn't spend the money wisely by selling the best players to get in and get the players, which they did. But also, whilst they're doing that and winning trophies,
commercial brings in a lot more money commercially.
Yeah, it all adds up, and you know, only for Man City doing what they've done, and Wednesday do 115 charts, whatever happens. But when they walk away and they get on the plane and they go wherever they go to Mallorca or up, leaving that behind, that's such a legacy. That's for all when you think about it. I walked in a stadium the last few months and look at Danny Road then, and I'm going, I remember the one that was like a shed. I used to go in there and say, look at that. Look at the yeah. stadium. It's something to be proud of as well as what we've achieved.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not just on the pitch, it's off the pitch, isn't it? Because without these, the owners wouldn't have been able to do what they did, in my opinion. I think that's fair comment, James, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. As you said, Liverpool have always had to be, during your time at the club, had to be clever in terms of recruitment because they couldn't waste money on big signings and on expensive ones that didn't work out. With Mo Salah, you know, I remember when he had first arrived, some people were questioning the wisdom of it. He was branded like, you know, he'd failed at Chelsea, even though he'd barely been given a chance at Chelsea, yeah. had he? And it was like, can he cope with the Premier League? Of course, he rewrites all the record books in that first season, 44 goals. Was it from a coaching perspective, was it clear early on, even like in the pre-season, that, you know, wow, we've got something special on our hands here?
Yeah, I remember one of the first training sessions, and we had a special form of training, a game where the target was find the player running in behind the last line, so without goalkeepers or anything, so just four goals at the end of the pitch, something like that. So, and we played, and bang, first pass in behind, he was running like. Whoosh, and goodbye, and nobody could follow. I thought, whoop. I knew the Mohamed Salah, a quick player.
Yeah.
To see it on the pitch for the first time, gone. Okay, that feels well.
It's exciting that when we see that.
Yeah, so, and sometimes it is like on the training ground, if the other boys in these little games, they are, you see how good they are, really. So yeah, and it's always special if you feel it for the first time in training already. So we had in Dortmund this situation, and Mario Götze, a 17-year-old player, came in for the first time, and we played all we young. We still played in Liverpool, so means two big goals, 30-meter pitch, 11v11, go.
Yeah.
7-minute game or whatever, who scores first three goals the day before the match. And it was like that. And these young guys in Dortmund started playing. I was standing really there. What was that? And there, in some moments, you feel, oh my God, how good is this team? How good is this player? And it was with this, Mohamed Salah as well. We had these moments in training where you see, okay, what a player. Unbelievable. Yeah. It's our job now to put him in the right place. Yeah.
And the summer of 2018, obviously, Fabinho comes in, and then Alisson. Alisson comes in not long after Virgil as well. Suddenly, the spine of the team then looks so strong. Did it feel that, like Alisson, in terms of being able to win the biggest trophies, did it feel like that was the final piece of the jigsaw that you needed?
Yeah, it was. So, yes, we were searching for the 2-3 years, always for improvement. And then it's clear, if you want to be successful, you need one of the best goalkeepers in the world. And obviously, Ali was on the way already to be this. I remember him playing one game in preseason as well, somewhere in America, playing AS Rom, and they played their number two, which was Alisson Becker. And we tried to score, we played a good game. Unbelievable. Clean sheet for Roma, and we lost. And I thought, hey, what was this goalkeeper? Is he number two? So, and of course, on this moment on, John Afterberg was, he's good, he's good. I said this before. and he played then a fantastic season with Rome. And so we needed improvement in this position as well, in combination with the center halves. The thing is, you need a strong team. So having two good center halves is nice, but you need three or four of them. And this is what you need to become a champion or to become one of the best teams in the world. And we knew that these players who are coming in, they will fit. We were convinced that, thankfully, we were right.
I mean, we had an event here just before the end of the season where John, talking about John Achterberg, went off on one, like being dead annoyed about City and the way that they sort of pipped us to the post a couple of times, mentioning the charges like you did earlier and so on. But that following season, of course, we won the Champions League. So that's amazing. And it sort of covers up all the negative moments in that season, which is to have 97 points, losing one game, but not winning the league, but knowing that there's this big black cloud over City and how they got there. Like, I mean, that must be tough to take, Pete, right? Under the circumstances.
Yes, absolutely. Of course it is. But this is why I call football the game of life, and life is not only I walk through the sunshine, everything is fine, never rains in Liverpool, there's no wind, everything is easy. No, football is not like that. It is the game. You have to go, you have to keep going, you have to go against everything, and you have to stay positive in your mindset, and you have to work together with other people. You have to deal with mistakes in the right way. So this all is teaching me football. And if people want to see this as well, not only the big superstars and football stars on the pitch, what they are able to do. No, they are unbelievable, hardworking football players as a team. And it's so tough as well. Yes, you could see, watch a football player only, a nice car he has, and he has a big house and a nice wife and what a life. And this is what he earns for that. But we don't think like this. So we know we have to work every day in and out really, really hard as a team, and together. And we have to overcome problems and difficult situations all the time. And yes, it is hard to take if you work for 1 year. And you think, oh my God, okay. But then, exactly then, in this moment, you have to stay tall. You have to keep going. And if you do it, if you do it constantly, if you're strong enough and often enough,
it speaks immensely for what you've done, because you've got to take the roof with this move. But when you've done what you have done, and, you know, Man City, look, we all know, we'll wait and see what happens there, you know, do what they've done. It's just like being knocked on the floor like a boxer and having to get up and dust yourself down. It's just ridiculous that you get that amount of points. Even the great teams that I watched Liverpool, our great team that we played, we didn't get that amount of points. Fell short of it just slightly by some of them, but that's just insane. Yeah. You know, we spoke about it time and time again, but from your point of view, and Jürgen and the players, it is. It's just like, you know, a sucker punch. Someone stick them on right here and you go down. But look, it is what it is. And hopefully we'll all come out in the wash.
And to finally be able to be part of a title winning team as you were in 1920. I mean, the consistency that season was unbelievable. I mean, Seb took 79 points out of the first 81 on offer. Yeah. Absolutely blew everyone away. If there was any tinge of regret at all, was it the fact that with the pandemic you were kind of denied the things that should have come with that achievement, with having to play in an empty Anfield and no parade?
If you watch back these times, then our problems were the smallest ones in the world. So I know Liverpool's fans especially were waiting so long, and then we have this pandemic, and then in this moment we win it. You can take it as a sign as well. So yes, it was something we achieved against all odds again, but during this time, the world had much bigger problems than how we could celebrate our title win. So, and on top of that, I hope for every Liverpool supporter, he will have his own story around this, sitting in the living room, maybe with his family and happy with only the closest ones. And we as a team, I can say this, of course, you wish it would have been different and everything normal and a big parade and a full stadium, of course. But you have to take the situation as it is. And we did that by celebrating a very special moment for us as a team as well, because we were, I remember that night, we were in a hotel, in our team hotel, had to declare a special night, if you want, a team night, to be allowed to have a barbecue and watching the game together, at least to make it possible that we see in case if it happens that we are together, this is what we wanted. Yeah. And so many persons not allowed being in. So it was only the team and the coaches, no one else around. So, and how this evening developed then with the game, Chelsea against Manchester City, I believe. So, and it was 0-0, and nobody thought about, okay, will it happen tonight? But then the second half came, and then Chelsea went 1-0 up or 2-0 up, and then you start realizing, oh God, it's going to happen. And then and even this curve of excitement in the beginning, nice, I want chicken steak as well. And you eat it, the football starts, and you all of a sudden, then the last 5 minutes, and then it happens. And then we had a explosive celebration. It was kind of special, not the way we wanted, but it was a special moment for us as well. And this is why we take this as our part of this history as well.
The season after you win the league obviously was a lot more difficult. And as a coach, when you're always trying to find solutions, but that must be hard when, you know, that season you didn't have any senior centre backs because they were all injured, and you end up, you know, no one would have envisaged having to you qualify for the Champions League with Nat Phillips and Reece Williams as the centre back combinations. And especially when you throw into the mix, it felt like during the pandemic, the team, it's always that Jürgen's team always seemed to feed off the energy from the stands. And did you feel that Liverpool probably suffered more than other teams in terms of...
Do you mean at Anfield?
Well, in general, I think.
Because we went through that stage at Anfield where we kept...
Lost six in a row, and
that happens. It's a mentality thing, and without the crowd to get behind you, wasn't it? Yeah. It was really strange, that one. Yeah. Good question, that.
Yeah, of course, it was difficult at one point. You can do it for one game and just say, oh, come on, it's special, and just imagine. And we tried to involve a few things, so... The moment we score a goal, we put music on just to create something so at least there's something in the stadium, man. So and it was of course a special challenge for every team to do this every day or every match day, to create this kind of extra motivation. And you saw as well, we failed with that one. There were other games losing 7-2 or 1
Villa.
Aston Villa.
The Villa game,
where you would think, okay, what is going on? It wouldn't happen that we lose the plot. And if there would be people, even if it's not your people in the stable, but if they start singing and shouting and celebrating, then you have to get angry at one point, and we couldn't do it that day, just as an example. And of course, it was tough coming from there. And then out of the sudden, you don't have center halves anymore. Players have to be there, have to play the center half position like Jordan Henderson or Fabinho.
Yeah.
Of course, they get injured as well because it's a complete different profile. To play there, it's much more sprint stuff like that, and even of course you miss your players, and then the whole balance of the team is gone. And to say this as well, you mentioned Reece Williams and Nate Phillips, of course, but what we did there with all these problems we went through, reaching the qualification for Champions League again was for us internally a very big success as well. So winning titles, everybody sees, done. But for us, this was a monster difficult situation, and we felt at the end of the season really happy. In between, it was terrible because there were terrible games, losing against Everton at home. I remember one game, it was end of January somewhere in West Ham in the Olympic Stadium, in this big thing, nothing around. Sunday night, 8 o'clock, dark, cold, rain, and I was sitting there on the bench and I said, what are you doing? Okay, yes, we play a football game, but what is it? Yeah. So, and in these moments, then you feel as well how important the atmosphere and the stadium is.
That must have been a massive flow that night when you really, you know, so, you think then, you're banging your head against a brick wall because you, I know, it's a psychological thing when that happens, especially at Anfield, you know, to lose them games at Anfield because we're all going, but it gets a habit. It's mad to say it, but it gets a little bit of habit. And just that season, it was crazy. It's crazy, wasn't it? Yeah. The way it ended and everything, it was just crazy.
Oh, and then we turn it around at the end. And the good stories stay in your mind. Ali is scoring.
That's unbelievable. Goal from a corner. You just couldn't write that in. You know, you do that in the comic, you say, no, that doesn't happen. Didn't it?
Yeah, and some of the happiest moments, really. I mean, there's footage from all around the fencing of that goal of Ali that's just...
Especially scoring the winner. So goalkeeper scoring, but it was always the equalizer. But scoring the winning goal.
And his dad had just passed away, that more like, you know...
Poignant,
absolutely. Yeah,
and then, of course, the following season, after that, you nearly win everything. You think such fine margins again, wasn't it? You think... The Rodri handball at Goodison that didn't get penalised. City beat to the title by a single point, and then Courtois has the game of his life, doesn't he, in Paris?
Yeah.
It was, the parade after Paris. I remember some of the players saying they weren't sure whether they really wanted to do the parade.
Yeah.
But you must have just been amazed by what you were greeted with when you came home.
Absolutely. Because it was a massive season. We tried to win four titles. We won two titles already before. And then you want to go to the top. You try to win, hopefully, the league, all the Champions League. We didn't. And so for me, this was the perfect moment to feel what it means to work for Liverpool Football Club. Because yes, there are great other football clubs as well in the world outside, but this was just absolutely amazing what the people did and the love they showed and for the club, the respect they showed for our players and how they reacted on that. Again, was a perfect example. What it means to be at Liverpool and what it means to identify yourself with your club.
So I think the fans wanted to show so much. I know, obviously, you know, in the city and after what happened, and it was so disappointing at the end, but they realised what they give us entertainment, what they've done for us all the season, you know, and to go out, like, and we didn't play bad in the final, you know, a couple of important stops and all that. And they just because of that, in adversity, they said, well, we'll make sure that we do even better than we did if we'd have won it. That makes sense. Because I know, and then I went town, it was just, phenomenal. It was just, you know, Celtic possibly could do that, but there's no other team that could do that. Don't get into fans. It was just amazing. And, you know, it was great hearing it from Peter, the gratitude that the staff and the Jurgen felt. Because we haven't heard of that probably enough. But that shows you how good the fans are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there is a degree of fans also thinking, you know, we missed out on a massive parade when we won the league.
Yeah,
we won. Like a lot of those energies still would have fed into that one as well. And then not wanting to finish on a downer, but it's a question that we've been asked before, also in anticipation of having you today, Pete. But it's obviously the season after having played 63 games the season before, where we went straight to the finish line on all possible trophies. The season after goes not to plan, let's say, 2022-2023. At the end of it, did you feel like, was it a case of saying, okay, this season wasn't what we wanted it to be, but whatever we leave behind one day when the energy runs out, when we leave, we want it to be like, we want to leave on a high. We don't want to leave on a low. We want to leave a team that is ready for the next person to take it on to the next level. Because arguably, that's not what happened quite at Dortmund. Obviously, when it was over, it was a pretty bad season. But the 2022-23 and then this season just gone showed us like, you got amazing talent there.
Yeah.
Ready for Arne.
So first Dortmund, last season we had a terrible after the World Cup 2014. So we had five players in the team who were world champion, but didn't play one second. So they came back from this big celebrations in Germany and were not able to get the situation right. Okay. So we finished the first half of the season on position number 17. So being on a relegation spot, the first half. And then we could turn it around. We still qualified for Europa League, which was then a good end as well. And we played the cup final and luckily we lost it. So after now Liverpool, the season before, it was from the first day of pre-season. I felt this is not going in the right direction. So holidays were far too short because after all these games with playing and losing the Champions League final, a lot of players had to play four additional games for their country because they were World Cup qualifiers, stuff like that as well. So they had maybe 2 weeks off and then start again in such a season. So where we coming from a point, playing nearly perfect, not winning everything. For the players on top, they knew there will be World Cup, but crazy enough, in the middle of the season. And they had to qualify somehow, maybe not with their team, but for their squad. If you imagine the situation of Fabinho, for example, for the Brazilian squad, so he had to fight for his spot in the team. So our preseason was a disaster. We went to Bangkok, was it, I believe, playing after 4 days training, playing Manchester United, losing 4-0. So nothing fitted in the right way. So and this is what we couldn't turn around. Even we knew how difficult it is. We tried everything, and we have to improve and we have to come back. But we couldn't. And at the end, even if we had a strong finish, we couldn't qualify for Champions League, which was no highlight, say it like this. If you come to this point, then of course there is something to decide. You have to think, okay, what is it? Going again, Liverpool 2.0. We have to make changes in the team. We have to find younger players who are fresh and ready to play our football again and to find this kind of satisfaction back, what we need. Using still our experience in the right way. So there had to be something different. And so the development, so I said, Jörg Schmadtke, don't forget him, as a sporting director, did an outstanding job in this difficult situation, like it was in a summer transfer period. Outstanding. And we had a fantastic team with exciting young players. And how the season went, winning the Carabao Cup again with our young players included in the squad, because we had, of course, a lot of injuries, far too many, which has reasons for sure as well. But this was a fantastic season. And then we had the feeling, okay, now it's fine. We leave the club in a good spot, qualified for Champions League. This is what we wanted desperately. Of course, we wanted more, couldn't make it, but fine. But at least qualifying for Champions League, everything is settled around. And this is a good starting point for the new leadership the new manager to work with the squad, see what they need, but there is enough quality there to start in an exciting future.
Absolutely. I mean, James, Pete just basically skipped right into the third part of the interview, which is to talk a little bit about the legacy that you leave behind and being ready for, you know, for Arne Slot and what he's taken over. Maybe you want to touch on some of the names. Because the young players coming through, it's just off the chart, isn't it? I mean, Kwanzaa to start with.
Kwanzaa, Bradley, you know, Dans, Kumas, Clark, McConnell. That, you know, there's some great kids, aren't there? The club's producing.
See, I always go back and I've said in some of my columns in Ireland, and like I always remember when Alex Ferguson said, Alex, he left Man United, he knew it was time to get out. You know, he knew it was time because he had an aging squad. He'd just done quite well, but he knew. He couldn't turn the squad around again. It was too late for him. He went out and the rest is history.
Yeah.
You know, so they've tried manager after manager after manager after manager. And it's not, they've won a few things, but they've never been the same. Alex Jürgen has left the new manager with a healthy, young, vibrant squad, which, you know, he can walk away now knowing that I've not left them in the shite.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Ferguson left them in the shape, you know, and a great manager he was. But look, whoever comes in will go, oh, yeah. What do we need? There you go. Yeah. Happy days. Yeah.
Yeah. And over your time at Liverpool, was there anyone in particular that surprised you in terms of their development? Someone who made steps that maybe you, that you thought, wow, I didn't know he had that in him?
That's a big one. So I always see the potential and always see something in a player, and I want to see it, and I think, oh, yes, he could. But if there's one single player, no, that wouldn't be fair because there are so many. If I say now one it's name, then the other one think, hey, what about me?
Can I just ask you, like because they all, and you're right, Bradley looks different class. Kwanzaa's done brilliant. You know, young Clark, Kumas, who I managed his dad at the Tranmere, and McConnell have done really well. But no, what excites me, he does excite me, and I've got to say this from a forward point of view, young Dans, because he knows how to finish.
Mm.
He's a box player as well. Mm. He's intelligent. He's very young. But He, like you talk to Robbie Fowler or Rushy, and you know, we know you watch him, and he knows it'll be in there and he'll just go in there or whatever. So some of our finishing this year has been dog shit. I'm not skipping some of the finishing from the forwards this year. I'm scratching my head going, we had 32 shots on goal there, and I'm going, how can he do that? How can he do that when you just put it in there? But that's me being me from a forward point of view. Because it's very frustrating. So I don't know what it's like for you when you see it, when we should be winning games easily. But we have been really poor from that point of view. But I think this young lad, he could save the club a lot of them. And I've said it before and been wrong about certain young lads and scouts. But he does not excite me, you know. And you've seen a lot more than him training than I have.
Yeah. He is a really interesting player. And very promising, but I don't want to put too much pressure on him because
I'm sorry.
I know how difficult it is, but yes, he is on the right path. Yeah. And if he himself is patient enough and everybody else as well gives him space for development, then he will develop
absolutely.
For sure, because he's a great guy and a fantastic player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it in November when Jürgen told you this would definitely be the last season?
Yes.
What was your initial reaction? Were you surprised or did you expect it?
Surprised not. So the moment he called me, listen, we need to talk. And you, okay. could be a special talk then.
We all remember being dumped by our first girlfriend just then, right? that's how it must have felt.
No, it was not like that, but I felt, okay, it's we have to talk, obviously. I knew about the possibilities and the options. So I was not surprised, I can't say less. And after he explained me what he thinks, I knew, yes, he's right. And yes, it is the right decision. Yeah, so this is what I felt.
Well, after that surprise on your face, Pete, we do have a little quiz, fun quiz, and it's only 6 questions, obviously it's the amount of times this great club has won the European Cup, say, and so we always put it the 6 times quiz. So, but James is going to be the Bradley Walsh of the quiz, and he's going to ask you some.
They're not that hard. No, you should be able to get some.
Unfortunately, 5 out of 6 is winning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it?
Is that Dirk or Lucas?
Lucas
was it?
Yeah. Pretty sure it was Lucas.
Sammy cheated a little bit. Sammy cheated, got 4 or 5, didn't he? We're not sure, but yeah.
Number one, who scored the first goal of the Jurgen Klopp era at Liverpool? Clue, it was a 1-1 draw with Ruben Kazan at home in the Europa League.
Oh, at home. I believe at away, Jordan Ibe scored. Correct. And at home, let's say Divock Origi.
Emre Can! Yeah.
He scored 1 goal and that was the first one.
Okay. Number 2.
What happened?
I'll make sure he doesn't watch that.
Good.
Number 2. Who made the most appearances of any player during Klopp's reign at Liverpool?
I think it's Jordan Henderson.
It's Bobby Firmino, 355. Who was the first signing of the Klopp era at Liverpool? Clue is he was signed in the January, then loaned back till the summer.
Thank you. absolutely no. It was Steve Cocker.
No, it was like a permanent signing. Sure. That was just a loan. So it was a permanent signing. But he was signed in the January 2016 and then loaned back to.
These are fucking terrible questions, James.
What's wrong with this?
I'm fucking dead ass.
Steve Nicholas hoping like he's losing his body spot.
He was a young midfielder.
I don't know.
He now plays for Porto.
Was it Krujic?
Yes.
Okay,
then right. Give me that one. Point. Give me that
number
one.
Number four. Divock Origi famously scored the second goal in the 2019 Champions League final v Tottenham. Who got the assist for that goal?
Joel Matip.
Yeah.
Correct.
Boom. That was a corner, by the way.
Yeah,
was.
Yeah, it was one. Yeah.
Bring it back in and score. That was the plan.
That was the plan. Yeah. That was an instinct. That was the plan. Number 5, what was the biggest margin of victory under Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool? Biggest margin of victory.
Biggest win.
Yeah. It was at home.
Yeah.
August 2022.
It was 9.
Yeah.
Correct.
9 against Bournemouth.
Yeah. Correct.
How long you got there, mate, yeah?
Right. And finally, who was the last signing of the Klopp era?
So, summer 2023. Winter. I believe it was...
End of the summer.
Oh, the last one was maybe Endo.
Close.
Gravenberg.
Right.
It's more like the same time, didn't he?
Three out of six.
All right, no, it's good.
Mid-table. Three out of six.
That's good. Right?
I'm very steep. Proud. Honestly, I thought it's nil.
Better than nickel, anyway. Oh, it's been so good. Pete, how long? Pete.
Odo, as always. James, great. Pete.
Brilliant, mate. Thank great you. To have you. You've been you. Class, and we all wish you all the very, very best on behalf of us and, you know, all the Liverpool fans and football fans, mate, in the future. I'm sure you'll be a great manager one day, and you never know, that day could come back to Liverpool. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.